Arsenal have matches postponed and get a big win against Brentford before the international break. All that and more on this episode of the Going Going Guru podcast.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the
Going Gooner podcast.
We ain't apologizing for nothing today.
The plain and simple truth is that we suck.
So clearly, Alvin listened to the episodes.
No, he did. I have no doubt.
What makes you think more instability is what this club needs right now?
Most likely will make one of the best Netflix documentaries since Firefest.
The Going Going Gooner podcast is brought to you by your party station, Z89.
Welcome back to the Going Going Gooner podcast. This is episode 69, part two. Very excited to be back here with you, Kyle. It's going to be a nice one today. As always, I'm Arjun. And before we get started, drop us a follow on Twitter at GGGoonerPod. Kyle, in Arsenal news, it's been pretty dry recently because... over to the UK, some big news dropped 2 weeks ago. Haven't recorded an episode since then. Queen Elizabeth II passed away 2 weeks ago, instigated a period of mourning in the UK, and one full match day of the Premier League was postponed. Our match against Everton was pushed to a later date, and our Europa League match against PSV the following Thursday was also postponed, but our match against Brentford in London the day before the Queen's funeral went ahead. So lots of discussion about postponing these games, especially our Europa League game, which we are going to have to get made up pretty much right before the World Cup break. I think ours was the only English team that got their European match postponed. Mm-hmm. So there was concern over police and deployment of police to the Emirates Stadium that day. Obviously, you feel for the fans that have bought tickets for that game that, you know, are traveling, obviously, the Dutch fans, too, that are traveling to the UK. Any fan that bought tickets to a Europa League game that was traveling from elsewhere that won't be able to make it to the next one. But also, in a World Cup year, a very unique World Cup year where we will have a break in the middle of the season, the fixtures are already congested. There are already way too many games. Postponing one full match week and just saying we'll do it later. I didn't love the decision. I think that there were better ways to go about it, to honor the Queen and respect her, if that's what the Premier League wished to do with postponing games. Obviously, we understand with police forces, Arsenal's game against Brentford went ahead last Sunday because Brentford is a small stadium. It's only a 20-25K seater. Police forces don't have to be as strong there. But Chelsea-Liverpool got postponed up in Stamford Bridge in London. But Manchester United's game against Leeds also got postponed. That's obviously not in London. The funeral was going to be in London. So United got their game postponed. But Tottenham-Leicester went ahead. That one was at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday. So there's a lot of inconsistency here. There's a lot of concern for why did some games get postponed? Why did games get postponed at all? So there's discussions to be had there, Kyle, for sure.
Yeah, there are, but we can't change it now. It happened. And just looking ahead, as you kind of mentioned, with match like kind of congestion a little bit, we have from October 1st through to November 12th, which is when our last match before the World Cup happens. We have in grand total in 42 days, 13 matches. For those keeping track at home, it's around a match every 3 days, give or take.
That's ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
it was bound to happen because we have Europa in the middle of the week as well. But games getting postponed due to the Queen passing away is only going to make things worse for fixture Agreed. Congestion. Obviously, there's a game on the last Premier League game is on November 13th before the World Cup, and then it starts back up again on Boxing Day. So some players will get a month rest. Some players will have to go to Qatar and play for another month. Mm-hmm. So, namely, I think the name I'm thinking of, Bukayo Saka. I mean,
dude has not had a rest in years.
He is already getting run into the ground, and he is going to have so much He's going to start every game for England. So he's going to be absolutely gassed after the World Cup. We will have players that get breaks. Obviously Thomas Partey is not going to be at the World Cup, so he will get a rest.
Martin Odegaard.
Very much injury prone as well, as we've seen. So him getting a rest will be good. But that's something we'll cross that bridge when we come to it in about a month and a half. But the fixture congestion for Arsenal is going to start to be an issue. And as it is across any team that is in Europe, but I think especially for us, because we've had our game against PSV moved, and we have to accommodate for that, because you can't just toss it in any random Thursday, because there's games every Thursday for the Europa League. You have to get those games done. So a lot to talk about there with fixture congestion. And as the season goes on, we'll see players pick up knocks. We'll see players that don't usually get game time get game time, and we'll have to see players rest before important games. But the good thing is, Arsenal are going into an international break coming off of a very, very resounding win over a side you can't underestimate at all, Brentford.
Mm-hmm. And I off the bat want to make a point of, I don't remember who it was. It was one of those random Talk Sport reporters over in England mentioned how Ivan Toney, after the match, a bunch of Arsenal players, namely Gabriel and one other player we'll chat about in a second, both tweeted about a good kickabout with the boys today, because for those who did not watch Prem 2 years ago, that's what Ivan Toney, or last year, tweeted after the first match day of the season where Brentford beat us. Was not pretty, was not fun. He tweeted that out. Gabriel tweeted it out, and so did one more player who, again, I want to leave for a quick discussion afterwards. But then it was mentioned by one of these Talk Sport guys, a United fan, who said, oh, Arsenal's got to stop chatting. It's just Brentford. You beat a team everyone beats. It was funny because, you know, Man United didn't beat them. So, yeah, that happened. It just made me laugh a bit. I just wanted to put that in there.
Yeah, but obviously the drawing back and forth between Brentford and Arsenal, Brentford manager Thomas Frank post-match was like, we have a lot of respect for this team. They play really good football. And we did play really good football. Going to West London and playing a team like Brentford and completely playing them off the park, that doesn't happen often.
A big part of that, firstly off of that, was that we didn't have Martin Odegaard for this match, which meant Fabio Vieira started in his place, which I obviously a big fan of that. Smith Rowe is currently hurt, so it was going to be Vieira who started there, was totally on board with it. And he played okay. He did okay. But this is where the Bukayo Saka needing rest, we might be okay come December, because we have this buffer of now having players like Vieira, who you can put on the right if you need to, or you can put in the middle for Odegaard, or you can put on the left if worst came to worst. You also have Marquinhos, who's looked stellar when he's played. I mean, we have legitimate subs now where we can rotate enough to give Saka a rest week or to give Odegaard a rest for a week. The only positions we don't really is that eight is where Thomas Partey plays. The only spot we really don't have cover. But outside of that, I feel good. And that starts with how this team played, which is firstly the goals. I mean, off the bat, Big Willie Saliba scored the first goal for us. Just big shout out to him. It was a corner kick from Saka, so gave him the assist, which he, again, deserved. It was put in. Saliba headed it back off top of his head, just heading it towards the masses and towards the back of the post, and it went in off the post. Beautiful, stellar, love to see it. Second one was a Granit Xhaka goal, or assist to Gabriel Jesus, which watching it was a masterpiece.
So, I mean, yeah, we have seen so many think pieces this week about the resurgence of Granit Xhaka.
He's back.
He's back. And I can't think of a better redemption arc in the Premier League, honestly. A guy that was, we hated him, Kyle, both of us. I mean, we both wanted him out of the club. But he was very close to leaving. We were about to sell him to Roma. Arteta believed in him as part of the project. Xhaka believed in Arteta right back. So having Xhaka in this team is huge at that box to box position he's playing now. He has been so, so, so good. And this is something I talked to you about, Kyle. I mean, I was in awe that, you know, Xhaka, it was always a little stereotype that he was someone that passed sideways and backwards, someone that really wouldn't progress the play. This season, I've really noticed he's been incredible in progressive passing. So I decided to take a look at his stats from the last few seasons. This is actually his worst season since he joined Arsenal for progressive passing. So, yeah. I mean, I think both of us, just in general, have been very harsh on Granit Xhaka. He makes really stupid decisions disciplinarily sometimes, and that's really where you can get him. But now he's built up that reputation, and now it's a little bit unfair how referees treat him. Before it wasn't, but now that he's got the reputation, now you've got the memes that are like, if Xhaka did that, he'd be sent to exile.
Siberia. Yeah, he's like, yeah. Siberia.
So, I mean, the resurgence of Granit Xhaka is great. He is legitimately an irreplaceable part of this team, not only because of what he brings to the pitch, but because Odegaard's our captain, but Xhaka, I think, is the leader of this team, right?
Yeah, he's the heartbeat of the team.
Odegaard behind the scenes could be a fantastic leader. On the pitch, he's a wonderful leader. He orchestrates the play very well. But Xhaka, the experience that he has, obviously being there through three managers, has belief in this project, and is the guy in the midfield to take it forward for at least the next couple of years, because he is playing so well right now. And I'm very, very glad to see it. You never want to root against one of your own players. If a player is playing poorly, maybe you'll say you want them out of the club like we did, right? But if they start playing better, then they start playing better, and you back them again, right?
Yeah.
So that's exactly what's happening here. I'm very pleased for him. Seems like a very sound guy as well. So very happy for him. That, and that pass from Xhaka to Jesus.
It was gorgeous. Is the best
gorgeous,
way to put it.
Inch perfect. That's an Odegaard pass. That's something Odegaard would pick out. Jesus was ready for it. And the buildup to that second goal as well. The progression through the phases of play, absolutely gorgeous. Just, it was just passing, right? I mean, it wasn't like the quick Wenger ball tiki-taka we sometimes saw. It was just progressively playing it through the phases, slowly pushing Brentford back, making them get into their shape, and striking through a target man in Gabriel Jesus up top. It was a beautiful, beautiful goal. But it got even better, Kyle.
It did, and it got better in that second half, where 4 minutes in, Vieira passes it to Saka. Saka passes it back to Fabio Vieira, who from outside of the box, like 25 yards out, curls it near post, off the post and in. There was absolutely no hope in net for Raya. He didn't have a chance saving that goal. It was beautiful. It was luscious to look at. Vieira struck it beautifully, curling away from the keeper with his left foot off the near post and in. It was a majestic goal. And that's what we know he can do. He can score those goals. He's got a beautiful left foot. So to see him start and then also get the goal is great to see. That was kind of the big positive right there. So he got his goal and he looked good doing it. And then Arjun, I mean, you know, it was an okay rest of the match. We held on. We were dominating the rest of the game. And then 90th minute comes and you're saying, okay, he's going to sub somebody off. Who's he going to bring on? He brings on two players. He brings on Marquinhos for Saka, which is good. Do it. And then he brings on a young man who makes me feel old. I'm 22. He brought on Ethan Nwaneri, who is 15 years old and a half, give or take. So, yeah, a player born in, what is that, 2007, I think?
Yeah. 2007.
Ridiculous. He's a child. He went to school the next day is what happened. But he brought Nwaneri on because he's looked fantastic for our youth teams. And we have a crazy amount of youth players on loan as well. And we have a lot of players hurt. So he was on the bench. And there's rumors, could he play? Maybe 90th minute if we're up. And we got it. Everyone was clamoring on Twitter for it. We all wanted to see him play. And he came on. He looked good with his one touch. but he came on and it was a statement, which is we've got a youth academy and they're great. And this kid's good. He's really, really good. He's got a big future here. And then out of left field, all of these reporters are like, oh, how dare Arteta make this marketing stunt? How dare he let him play? If he could, if he wasn't good enough, he wouldn't be here, firstly. Second, everyone saying this now was lauding Fulham for playing Harvey Elliott when he was barely 16. They were saying, oh, this is a great decision. But now it's Arsenal. It's like, oh, how dare you play this child, you heathens? How dare you? He played for, what, 3 minutes, maybe? Why? What's the problem here?
What's the problem? Kyle, what we got to do here is block out the noise. Where Arsenal Football Club are back, and what that means is there's going to be a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And there people are making noise. People seem to make a living off of slandering Arsenal. Ethan Winery, by the way, youngest Premier League debutant in history. Mm-hmm. In the 30-year reign of this league, he is the youngest player to play in it. Obviously, that makes him the youngest Arsenal debutant as well. When you heard Arteta talking about him, he said he was in training with the senior team and he just had a gut feeling that Wanneri should be on the bench and Wanneri should get to play. Just a gut feeling. You're up 3-0. Bring him on. That'll 1,000% improve his mental as well. I mean, the confidence that must give you and post-match as well. Post-match, obviously, Xhaka was getting chants from the away support. But you saw Ramsdale pushing Wanneri to the front, and Ramsdale was like, "Oh, you can't be humble. You got to get your applause." Ramsdale pushes Wanneri to the front. Away support completely backs him. That must be such a good feeling for you. And I mean, when I was 15, what was I doing? Right? This kid is a Premier League footballer, and I'm very happy for him. And if he's got the bright future that people say he has, then Haaland will continue to reign. And I'm very excited to see these new guys come through. We obviously we have Nketiah, Saka, Smith Rowe, all those guys came through Haaland. So very happy for him. Very happy to get the win. And one more performance I want to shout out as well, someone that has looked shaky. But Kieran Tierney's back.
Oh,
Kieran
yeah.
Tierney was solid, did his job, did what he needed to do, and was even better than that. Very, very good performance, and very happy to see Kieran Tierney back. Played a full 90 as well, didn't get subbed off. He's back to full fitness, and he's back to being the Kieran Tierney we all know. So very, very happy for him as well. In Zinchenko's absence, Zinchenko has looked so good to start the season, but having the options of Tierney behind Zinchenko, having Vieira to just plug in for Odegaard, I'm tired of the competition, right? I'm tired of picking a side, right? You saw so many people when Gabriel and White was our center back partnership last season, they were like, oh, Saliba should be in here. Saliba's better than both these lot. He is, right? But he needed that development. He needed that play time in Ligue 1. And now he's back in the side. All three of them are playing at a very high level. There's no need to squabble. There's no need to say, oh, Vieira is better than Odegaard. There's no need to say Tierney is better than Zinchenko or vice versa. We have the options. We have the depth. Let's be happy with it, which I very much am. When you have your captain injured and you can plug it in with a guy that we bought this summer who looks to be an imperious footballer as well, in Fabio Vieira, you don't complain.
No, you don't. But you know what's nice, Arjun? I can't wait to watch our EFL Cup match in a month and watch Matt Turner, Rob Holding play. I'm excited. I personally am very excited for that. I love Rob Holding. He's a king. He's one of those unsung heroes. Him, Mo Elneny, like, they are just the heart of this team, and I adore them. So I wanted to give them a little bit of a shout out here before we wrap the episode up. I just wanted to give them a little bit of love for the boy Rob Holding. You know, he's a king. He deserves it.
Absolutely, he does. But that will probably do it for us on this week's episode of the Going Gooner podcast. we don't have a match until October 1st. And that's going to be a big one, the North London Derby. Obviously, that is about 10 days out. So we're not going to preview it right now, but we will have a special little Twitter exclusive for you previewing that game. Bright and early in the morning for us on the East Coast, 7:30 a.m. on Saturday, October 1st. For now, Bukayo Saka will be heading for international duty with England. I believe Gabriel Jesus is as well for Brazil. Martinelli did not get a call up for Brazil. So those guys will get rest. Saka obviously will not. So coming back from the international break, Bukayo Saka is a must start against Tottenham. But we'll go through our lineup picks and our predictions at a later date as we get closer to the big, big North London Derby. And also this weekend, Kyle, another big North London Derby, the women's North London Derby.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be the biggest selling women's club football game in UK history. We've already passed 50,000 tickets sold. I went to the women's North London Derby back in April, only a few months ago. Arsenal only made 10,000 tickets available and those sold out. So seeing 50,000 seats going to be full at the Emirates for Arsenal versus Tottenham, seeing our ladies get out there, going to be very, very exciting. I wish that that opportunity was available, that the whole stadium was free for us, because tickets are £12 and they're free for, they're available for everyone, like Premier League tickets, men's Premier League tickets are not. So huge for Arsenal, huge for Arsenal women, a huge brand as well, Arsenal women. So that is a big North London Derby coming up this week. And then after that, a huge North London Derby in the Premier League. But before that, until then, we are signing out for this week's episode of the Going Gooner podcast. For Kyle, I'm Arjun. Thank you all for listening.